Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So after the nonsense, we need a bit of wisdom and experience. That's Robert Craddock on a Monday for CD Motor Group. Tax time savings at Ferntree Gully Hyundai. Hello to you, Crash.
G'day, Jared. What a lively bunch of texts they were, weren't they? Good on you, mate. Firing them up on a Monday morning, I love it.
It's the most passionate time of the week. Now, Crash, I'm calling it the Shamar Joseph curse. Since the West Indies breached the Gabba, it's no longer safe for the occupants. They're getting raided all the time. Lions have lost all three.
It's a great observation, haven't they? Like, it was the fortress, wasn't it? And Brisbane undefeated here last year, lost all three this year. And you know what, Jared? I reckon it was a fork in the road moment on Saturday night. Sitting at home, like thousands of Brisbane fans, switching from the Broncos trouncing Canberra to the Lions seemingly stuck in the mud at the Gabba. And it's just, this year was always going to be about sports psychology in Brisbane. How would the two teams recover from being 5 minutes away from a grand final and losing it? Of course, the Lions losing to Collingwood and the Broncos losing to Penrith.
Yep.
And, you know, it's such an interesting thing, isn't it, Jared? Because the Broncos, they sort of surprised themselves by getting to the grand final last year. So they're still going up and they're fine. But the Lions, after that 5 year of hard toil, I just reckon that was their peak in that grand final. And they won't, that could be the peak of a generation. But can I just say, so I did that for my column yesterday, and I was driving around Brisbane. I ran into Jason Ackermanis out selling a house, just to get ready for an open house. He's a real estate agent selling one in Kent Street. And I told him about this column I had. He said, "No, mate, you're off the mark." He said, "The Lions," he said, "in 2001, we'd won just four of our first nine games and never dropped another game." And he said, "So who are you going off way too early?" Which, so that convinced me I was right. I love Acker.
Yeah, they're a big watch now and getting beaten at the Gabba so often. Righto, the biggest international sports story, Crash, is the revelations that in the lead up to the Tokyo Olympics, 23 Chinese swimmers tested positive to a banned substance, but they were cleared of any wrongdoing. This is the classic lack of transparency. And then years later, what on earth are we to make of it? It's been speculated upon and theorized and analyzed. So on the Today Show today, sports lawyer Tim Fuller, who was part of the Shayna Jack case, offered his view on how this story looks.
I find that highly implausible. All 23, I mean, what were the concentration levels in their system? There's a lot of unknowns. There's more questions than answers. I don't think anybody's seen laboratory documentation, information, et cetera, expert reports. So there's just so many unknowns around this. But I think probably the biggest concern is the fact that while China Anti-Doping Authority made this decision, WADA has just waved this through, and they've all competed, obviously, in Tokyo and after. I don't think it's the end of this matter. The Americans have been very strong in their opposition to this decision, and they have powerful laws to investigate perceived crimes in relation to sport that involves any American athletes. And of course, the Tokyo Olympics involved American athletes, so they can bring in the FBI. They have strong legislation. I think we'll hear more about this over time.
So, tapping your wisdom and experience, Crash, my first reaction, so before you delve into the guilt or innocence or mistake, it's a shocking cover-up.
Oh, well, that's the thing. Let's just put China to one side for the minute. WADA were told about this. And not only did they let these athletes continue to compete, which was, you know, a crime in itself, not only did they not even stand them down, which was terrible, they didn't notify the world, which should have been the absolute basic requirement. I mean, if you've had to put it out there, people would have laughed at them and they would have gone hard at them, but at least they're being transparent about what action they took. If they had said, look, we accept their findings. But to not do that makes it absolutely scandalous. And I know WADA, there's a bit of an uncivil war happening within the four walls of WADA at the moment. Some people are saying, well, you know, we believed what they told us. And others are saying, my God, how can we not put that out? That's outrageous. And it is. It's scandalous. It will stop anyone ever trusting them again. And if you haven't got trust as a World Anti-Doping Association, what have you got? Because, you know, you're supposed to be the police, the good cops, you know, the you know, the people who keep the system transparent. And if you jump into bed with China and said, no, we accept that, no scrutiny, I mean, it's laughable, Jared, honestly.
So there's two possibilities with 23 swimmers testing positive. One is it's either systematic doping, or two, it's a dreadful case of contamination. And you had to be able to resolve which it was.
Let's just strip this back to its most basic form. They're saying the contamination happened over, you know, various spice racks and things in food at the food hall. But hang on, it's a tablet. This TMZ, the drug, the heart drug that's used by old people, it's a prescription drug. You can't just buy it in a chemist and have it lying around. You have to be prescribed it. And so if you're cooking with it, what, you drop it in a stew, do you? And then you crunch it up and then it goes to 23 different people? Jared, it's just, it's laughable, that defence. It really is. I mean, how could it happen like that? I mean, it was the same drug that Sun Yang, the swimmer who famously Mac Horton called out after his drug-taking episode. That was his drug, you know. And it's not a drug that is randomly sitting around kitchens. I mean, it's prescription. It's an old people's drug. But what it does, it gives athletes more stamina. And, Jared, I know this will sound funny, but one of the images I have after covering the Beijing Olympics was how absolutely fastidious the Chinese were. During that games, I mean, just everything was organised to within a square centimetre of its life. There was no rubbish on the streets. There was no mess in the restaurants. And so this is how, you know, you're talking about a really fastidious, well-organised race of people. And what you're telling me? Someone left these tablets around. They just happened to pop into the curry or the bread and butter pudding. Oh, gosh, leave me out of that one.
Yeah, so we're inside 100 days to the Olympic Games. What will it do to the pool deck, do you think? What will it do to the swimming program?
Oh, this story has to live on to the Games. And congratulations to Julian Lindon, you know, from News Corp, from, you know, being at the front end of it and breaking it on Saturday. It will get bigger before it gets smaller, as cover-ups always do when they're exposed, won't they? And I think it casts an asterisk beside anything China achieves in this Games. Jared, because you ask yourself this, if it was a matter of systematic doping, and doesn't it look like that, if they covered it up then, the question, what are they covering up now?
Yes, and the Sun Yang case, which has gone on for years, the dissatisfaction on that front, so the suspicion and the acrimony that has built up in Australian swimmers, which, as you rightly point out, has been given voice at various stages, and now that it be so widespread, it does. I just think for WADA, it makes them look like they're happy to go after the soft target, when it's big and challenging, it feels like they ran scared into a corner.
Oh, yeah. And I was staggered when I heard several of their big-time US critics open fire on WADA on Saturday evening. WADA said, well, we've engaged our lawyers to look at your criticism. I was thinking, oh, geez, hey, that'd be the second worst decision I've ever seen to go to court, apart from Bruce Lerman. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You wouldn't want to fight that one in court, WADA. Criticism for your actions over a two-year cover-up over a group drug case to an illegal drug that has to be prescribed, and you're trying to defend your actions. I just can't believe it. There aren't too many stories. I think you, Jared, you'd have to say shock but not surprise. That was my reaction when I saw it. Like, I was staggered by the cover-up, but then you realise that's modern sport, isn't it? There's always so much happening behind the scenes. What was your reaction?
It's just so disappointing. And the lack of transparency around it is the most worrying part, and then you can work backwards from there. But I'm always staggered, Crash, that these the people with serious experience think that this wouldn't come out. How could you honestly believe that 23 positive tests to a banned substance ahead of an Olympic Games would never come out?
Yep, especially since they were aware that a German television station had been investigating it for 6 months, really drilling down on it, you know, and looking at all these untied threads. And so the fact that you were trying to defend that, you know, there would have been smart people might have said, let's make an announcement and get out ahead of it. And sure, we're going to cop it, but let's, in the interests of belated transparency, let's say something. But they just sat there. Mm. And even on the weekend, they had to be really flushed out, WADA, to say anything. Then, of course, when they did say something, they were in full defensive mode. So I just, honestly, it is so disappointing. But, you know, I look back at some of the things that our swimmers faced in the 1980s. Remember Lisa Curry when she faced, you know, Chinese women, and we had photos in the paper of them on the weekend, these giantly amazing, statuesque, you know, swimmers that quite, you know, how did they get in that condition, you know?
Yes, it does shake the faith in these things, and particularly so close to the next Olympics. The wisdom and experience of Robert Craddock on a Monday. The Eagles are going to join the Giants at the tribunal tomorrow night, so West Coast to challenge the ban of Tom Barras for a dangerous tackle. So the full suite heading to the tribunal tomorrow night. Jake Fraser-McGurk, he's tearing it up in the IPL at the moment. Is he getting himself into contention for the T20 World Cup? We'll pose that to Crash next. Melbourne's weather, sunny, a top of 23. United Energy's year-round vegetation inspection and cutting program is keeping communities safe.
Once again, giving some room, and that's been put away for four. Again, too short and too wide.
Just stand like a baseball, a bat high up in the air. Taking the pace off like that.
Because again, this is going for four. It's too short, too slow, and sitting up to be hit.
Nah, he's giving him room again. He's panicked.
Again short, and again the same area. 30 runs coming off that. Three sixes and three fours in that over.
But if he continues to bat like this, as his 50 comes up in 15 deliveries.
Jake Fraser-McGurk's hitting exploits are the talk of the IPL right now. 65 from 18 balls, five fours and seven sixes. It was in the game where Pat Cummins was the opposing captain and Travis Head had turned in a man of the match, 89 from 32 balls. And Robert Craddock, this is three innings for Jake Fraser-McGurk in the premier T20 domestic competition in the world. It does start to spin the question, at what point might he be an irresistible bolter for the Australian World Cup squad later this year?
Yeah, it's a really good question, Jared, and it could happen. I mean, Steve Smith has been floating around that last position. And it'll be sort of, isn't the world produce some funny stats? Like, imagine if Smith missed out for a guy whose first-class batting average is 18.
Yes.
But we're not talking about first-class cricket here. We're talking power hitting. And he's got something special about him, hasn't he? It's just, and I love the balance he plays with these beautiful big shots. And he hit Pat Cummins for a six. That was part of the highlights just then. So that's a good way to get noticed.
Yep.
Hit your test captain over the fence. He's picked his slower ball. But I agree with Michael Clarke that if he plays, he nearly has to open for the power play when the field is up and you just say, Jake, go your hardest. You know, just unleash. And that would be the way to do it. And you can already see opposition spinners maybe opening with a spin bowler who pushes the ball wide of off stump and maybe spins it away like Jadeja and says, hey, I know you love hitting him over mid-wicket, but try dragging this one across your stumps under the pressure of a World Cup game. So he's definitely – what I like about the prospect of him playing, Jared, is our team's getting very old. And I love to see some youth in it. And if he has a good year, Jake Fraser-McGurk, he could become the most influential Australian cricketer of the next year, because I think so many young kids will look at him and say, look at that. He's a power hitter, and he's gone from a standing start into the Australian team and earning big money in the IPL in just a year, where it's so hard to do in Sheffield Shield and Test cricket. You've got to be patient. Kids love that instant success story. And I just think if he gets there, already he's influential, but you'll see many more kids practicing like Jake in the next. Kabang, kapow. You know, it's that. And that's not a bad thing for the game. It keeps it alive and vibrant.
It's so Australia sort of tipped its hand over the summer. They wanted to integrate him into the first national teams, but they did it in the 50-over game because he wasn't in their World Cup planning for later this year. So they didn't want to disrupt the T20 team, but they wanted him to get a taste because he's in the next cycle. And that's what's, I think, so significant about these innings is could he just knock the door down and go, yeah, I know we were thinking about him as a futures project, but maybe the future will be now. And that question is the same game. Head makes 89 from 32, while Fraser-McGurk batting behind Warner, who failed, makes 65 from 18. And there's that question, well, should it in fact be Head and Fraser-McGurk, which wasn't even vaguely on the horizon?
No, it wasn't. But there was a throwaway sentence from Andrew McDonald at the end of the season where he said, look, we're not rushing into finalising our T20 World Cup team because we've got the IPL. And he said, what better trial ground could you have than the world's best players playing together? I have to say, Jared, the game's gone too far in India with these batting wickets, the short boundaries and these ultra super flat decks. I mean, scores of 280, that's too much for mine.
Yep.
I mean, in the Big Bash last year, which I thought was a terrific competition, the highest score was 213. And you know what? It felt about right. I think we get so obsessed about big hitting that sometimes we forget the joy of seeing a batsman under pressure when he's played out an over for three runs and seeing him get a bit tense and beautiful bowling and all that. Whereas when it's carnage all the way, like it's just like stuffing your mouth with chips and gravy, you know. Like I don't mind a little bit of chips and gravy, but, you know, like I can do without a tub full of it every day. So it that's how it felt a bit. And I just feel they've gone too far, too far.
So it becomes then, what is it going to look like in the West Indies and the US? So if just say this was the setup, then you would want to have the most ruthless exploiters of that, wouldn't you? If you're going to have to make 280 or chase 280, you wouldn't want to be caught napping with batting setups that are favouring 220.
No, that is true. They used to have the rolled mud wickets of the West Indies, which were slowish and lowish, but they'll be of a reasonable standard, and that's where Australia is basically playing. But you're right. It's just that he does play at another dimension, and it's good. Would be good to have him up his sleeve, even if he wasn't in the actual run on first 11. But he's such an interesting player, isn't he? I mean, even if his number, national number 23, a throwback to Warney and all the showmanship of that, and you know, the guy who embraces the sort of stardom of the whole thing, and so. Yeah, it's exciting that we're talking about him. And I know the selectors will be. They have to, particularly if this sort of form, because it is sort of it's just his strike rate is 222 at the moment. Goodness me, amazing.
Just run your mind, run your imagination for me, Crash. And I don't know the answer to this, so it's just really intuition and instinct. Could he be the next Dave Warner?
Yeah, he of course he could. Remember when Warner came through and everyone said, oh, look, he's a slogger, David Warner. And Greg Chappell said, no, he's more than that, and I'm going to tell him. And so they crafted Warner into a different sort of player. Jake has not got the defence that Warner had early. The one thing that Warner could do is he was a smart cricketer who could keep out decent balls. Now, Jake's averaging 18 in first-class cricket. They've found a way through him. They feel he's got fourth gear, but he hasn't got first and second at the moment. And maybe he has, but he just doesn't want to use them. But Warner would do that occasionally. Like he was... One thing I say about Warner, like Chris Rogers once said to me, he was the smartest guy he ever batted with. And he said, if there was anything happening in the field, he'd say, have a look at Jimmy Anderson on the fence, mate. He's just hobbling a bit. We'll go two to him next time.
Yeah.
So he had great awareness. Jake hasn't got that at the moment, but he could be. He could be. And you know, some people will say that if you've got the fancy pyrotechnics, it's easier then to mould the rest of your game backwards down. You know, if he's got that, he can work on his defence, where if you're a defensive player, it's much harder to get the attacking shots.
He's the most intriguing figure in Australian cricket now and for the next little bit, and just the tasters that he's given. And, yeah, I'm so interested to see how the rest of his IPL pans out and how strong the case might be at the end of it. Robert Craddock for CD Motor Group. So one more for you, Crash, is the Meg Lanning interview on the Howie Games. So it came on Thursday. It got a little bit interrupted when Taylor Swift dropped her album. But it's such an interesting listen. Is Meg, who's never opened up before in an intimate and safe environment, tells her story. To profound effect, I think. So you've written about the borderline eating disorder and that circumstance, and then her career in its totality, from playing in front of family and friends to playing in front of frenzied stadiums in India, for playing for a couple of hundred dollars here or there, to the WPL draft and a couple of hundred thousand dollars. It was the full gamut.
Yeah, beautiful interview by Howie. I thought it was probably his best, and he handled it with great sensitivity, and he wasn't quite sure what he was going to get when he went in. And that's great, because Meg can be so guarded. I remember going to her press conferences in the last few years of her career, and she was almost detached. Like, she would stand there and nothing was too high or too low, and that's the way she had to be for a decade. People forget she was an Australian captain at 21. She was in the system for 3 years before that, and was captain for a decade. And I always remember that quote from Graham Smith, also a 21-year-old Test captain, the South African, who said, when you're a young captain, part of your childhood is snatched away from you. He said, you can never be that person on the bus making the smart aleck remark, the guy staying for the last beer, you know, the prankster. He said, you walk a very steady line. And she did that, but it ground her down, Jared. And it was a tricky one, because she lost 7 kilograms by exercising almost with addiction and not eating enough. But it wasn't, and I remember seeing her in the last few years and thinking that Meg, yeah, she did look lightly framed, but that's not unusual. So it was a really difficult one to address. And Jared, may I say, I so sympathise with the Australian coach of the time and that, because you think something's wrong, but it's such a sensitive issue. And particularly, as Meg said, she was in denial when it was mentioned to her. She said, no, I'm all right, you know. So where do you take it in our sensitive world? How do you follow it up, if you know what I mean?
Yeah, yep. It's absolutely worth the couple of hours of your time to understand Meg Lanning's journey in its totality. It's there on the Howie Games. All right, Crash, will we have a look at Liv in Adelaide?
Oh, I'll keep an eye on it, and for the madness, which it was last year. But don't underestimate what happened last year. That event in Australia, in Adelaide, LIV Golf, changed world golf forever, because it prompted Jay Monaghan, the boss of the PGA Tour, when he saw the highlights of that on television, he thought, we've got to broker a peace deal with Liv. So it's incredible, isn't it? Little old Adelaide, changing world golf as we know it, Jared.
Yes.
But when he saw that, he thought, we've got to jump in with them before it gets out of control. They still haven't worked out what they're doing, but little old Liv, Adelaide, God love them.
Enjoy your week, Crash.
Thanks, Jared. See ya.
Wisdom and experience of Robert Craddock. Not only Wayne Hawks, but John Hawks, Hall of Fame trainer, is going to join us next. The passing of Lonro. We're going to nod to one of the all-time greats before we set you up for Midday Madness. This is Waitley for Hyundai. Drive away in a Hyundai Stereo load from $49,490.